he growled. We'll hold the teams until Fisher is located and brought in. Good, Dixon nodded, his anger having faded away like a wraith in the night. Is there anything else? No, Mr. Than, there isn't. Mr. Adler was still fuming. Though I will say I don't understand what's so important about one man, specialist or not. Dixon laughed. It's not your place to, Mr. Adler. Now go, and bring me the relics I hired your people to obtain. Adler disappeared into the elevator and left the penthouse. Dixon watched the little man go. Good help was hard to find. This was true. Still, the colonel's people really were the best in their field. Adler hadn't lied about that. Returning his attention to the weather outside, Dixon sighed. It had taken so long to figure out where the three pieces had been hidden away. So very long. He could wait another few days for them to be gathered and delivered to him. Regardless, there was no other choice. Dixon had done all he could. It was up to the colonel's people at Moreau Incorporated to complete the task at hand. Lightning flashed outside. A roll of thunder shook the glass of the window before Dixon in its frame. He smirked at the storm as if taunting it. Soon. Soon the pieces would be in his hands at last. Jason Fisher left work early, sneaking out of the back of the bookstore. Lily would be ticked when she realized he was gone. It wouldn't be the first time, or the last. Jason knew Lily wasn't going to fire him over it. He was too good at his job, and she needed help too badly. Rain was falling, the sky was dark above the alley. Jason could feel them coming. Despite all his efforts to leave his old life behind, it was catching up to him. Once he'd been a child prodigy, a genius, and a rising star in the realm of academia. By the age of 20, Jason had doctorates in archaeology, history, and cryptoanthropology. His future was as bright as the stars on a clear summer night back then. Then the dreams started. At first, he had believed them to be just nightmares born of stress. Jason cut back on his writing for the journals, reduced his continuing studies, slowing his progress toward his next PhDs he was working on, and even canceled a lecture tour that summer. The dreams didn't stop, though. With the passage of time, they only grew worse. His colleagues suggested seeing a therapist. Haunted as he was, Jason took their advice. The first therapist he saw was a woman named Martin. Jason saw her once a week. After 2 months, she killed herself. He was told it was because of problems in her marriage, and at the time, Jason believed it. His second therapist, Dr. Page, after only a month of seeing him, was found in a bathtub full of bloody water, wrists slit to the elbows. Still, Jason hadn't understood what was happening until his third therapist, Dr. Henry. Ex-military, Dr. Henry was a big man, and though in his 40s, young enough to be tough as a friggin' bull. Henry hadn't taken his own life like Martin and Page, but came after him instead. Jason could vividly remember Dr. Henry's eyes that night. They were bloodshot and burning with a need to end him. Dr. Henry would have succeeded too, except that Jason's gut warned him that something was off that evening. He had been sleeping with an ancient Celtic throwing knife from his collection of artifacts. The blade was clasped in a hand that was tucked under his pillow. Dr. Henry crashed through the locked door of Jason's bedroom like a raging bull, sending splinters of breaking wood flying. Lunging at him, Dr. Henry's huge hands had slammed down, gripping his shoulders. That was when their eyes met, and Jason saw the man's fear and determination. Jason brought up his knife and slid it into the side of Dr. Henry's neck. Hot blood sprayed as the big man let loose of him and staggered backwards. Dr. Henry backed up into the wall of the bedroom and slid down it, crumpling onto the floor as he bled out. That was the end of Jason's attempt to even pretend there was any normalcy remaining in his life. Jason resigned his position at the university where he was teaching, stopped his writing and touring, and dropped his own classes. His bank account was far from wanting. With the celebrity of his youth had come a fair amount of money. Never being one to indulge in excesses outside of an occasional rare relic or artifact for his collection, Jason had saved most of it. Now he used that money to drop away from the face of the earth. He left Europe behind, moving back to the States where he was born, choosing New York as his new home. In a city so large, Jason figured he could blend in and be lost among the masses. And he had, perhaps too well. Not daring to risk another attempt at therapy, the only means of getting sleep open to him was that of self-medicating. Alcohol was his starting point, and from there he spiraled to more powerful drugs. His bank account bled out just as Dr. Henry had from the wounds his addictions inflicted upon it. Jason found himself alone with his nightmares on the streets.